From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hello and welcome to another entertainment podcast from NewsOK.com and The Oklahoman. I'm George Lang, and with me today is Brandy McDonald and Matt Price, and this is a special edition because we're only talking about one movie, and it's one that Matt saw. It is, of course, Watchmen, because he is most qualified to see it. Tell us what you think.
Watchmen is coming out for much anticipation. And I guess not up against much competition either. So
I guess zero is not much.
How many people can they get in the way of this thing?
Can they lure to the Cineplexes with an R-rated superhero murder mystery?
That's two hours and 43 minutes.
Based on probably the most well-known graphic novel of all time. Certainly one of the handful of them, if not the most.
Well-known and most highly regarded, I'd say.
Exactly. So this thing has been in development for years and years. And Terry Gilliam at one point thought it was unfilmable. You know, Alan Moore, who is the writer of it, has basically washed his hands of the whole thing. Doesn't want there to be a movie, doesn't care if there's a movie, is not involved in any way. However, Zack Snyder, the guy behind 300, took this on, partially because he thought if he didn't take it on, somebody else would, and who knows what they'd get. Mm-hmm. Given his success with 300, he was able to say, look, we want to do this as an 80s period, you know, alternate 1980s period piece. We're not modernizing it. We're not, you know, bringing it up to modern times.
Right.
We're going to shoot the graphic novel. And it's very, you know, it's a very true adaptation. They've changed a few things here and there. And obviously, it's got the graphic novel has such fans that it's the things that do get changed. I'm sure some people are going to say, hey, I didn't like they changed this bit or that bit. But it's about as true of an adaptation as you're likely to see of a graphic novel. And will it work for moviegoers who don't know what they're getting into? I think that's really the big question. I think it's a lot to take in. It was a 12-issue miniseries, so I mean, it had been discussed at one point as maybe a 12-part, you know, maybe HBO type series. They decided to do it as a movie, and it's a lot to take in. I think it's the kind of movie you can watch multiple times just to see what's in the background. What have they made? You know, Dave Gibbons was talking about being on set, and you know how they have newspapers in movies all the time. And mm-hmm. He says, not only are the big headlines, they have written the entire story and all the newspapers that are posted on the wall.
Well, that's pretty true to the graphic novel also. Right. I mean, if you go back, which I'm reading it now, you guys have already read it. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and look, I go back at the end of all of the chapters and look at all the frames individually, just mm-hmm. because there's so many things in the background that are in it. So it's so incredibly detail-oriented as a graphic novel, that I don't think people would be satisfied with something that was very bland in the background. So
right, and I think that's kind of what they went for, a movie you could watch multiple times. And I think certainly, you know, the DVD sales on this thing are probably going to be extremely good, because I think if you watch it, you're going to want to see it and watch it in free stream and say, oh, what's that thing and where's this, you know. It just really the question for, is it going to make a lot of money? I think it is. The question is, you know, R-rated, and it's got quite a bit of violence and sex. Mm-hmm. Is there enough audience for this type of thing? I think if you look at 300, you think, man, there probably is.
Sure.
So
sure. Now, you know, we've seen the trailers. You've seen the whole thing, but you know, just from the visual standpoint, I mean, a lot of the scenes that we've seen look like they, you know, leapt directly from Dave Gibbons' illustrations. How about the casting on it?
I think they did a really excellent job. The Jackie Earle Haley is perfect, spot on. He's amazing. He's a guy that never should have had to go away, and he's great in this role.
And as Rorschach.
As Rorschach, yeah. Patrick Wilson, who is maybe, you think, Patrick Wilson, you know, great-looking guy. What's he doing playing this slightly nerdy, starting to be overweight Dan Dreiberg? I think he nails it in the context of the film. You know, maybe some of the others, it's a little harder to say if they've nailed it quite directly. You know, Malin Ackerman, her character is a little more visually changed from the graphic novel. It's still in the neighborhood. Dr. Manhattan is obviously CG, kind of based on what Billy Crudup was doing. So that works, but it doesn't look exactly like Billy Crudup the whole movie, obviously.
Right.
And I think if anybody has any...
Crudup not being blue and bald.
Not being blue and bald and often not naked. And he said he's not quite as built as what that guy is either. I think he was willing to admit that. And then you also got Matthew Good playing Ozymandias, who I think is maybe the biggest departure from what you have in the graphic novel. I think in the graphic novel, he's a little bigger and bulkier and... You know, Matthew Good is a little thinner guy, although he's perfectly big. But I think they played a little differently, but I think as far as casting, they did a pretty good job considering where they had. And of course, Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the comedian, I thought was great.
Yeah.
Well, let's give them a rundown of what it's about.
Rundown of what it's about, if you listen this far. It's basically a superhero murder mystery, at least if you want kind of a plot, what happens. The comedian, who is a superhero who's been around since the 40s, is killed. Rorschach begins investigating it. All the superheroes have been outlawed at this point, but Rorschach still operates outside the law. He begins investigating, warning the other former superheroes that he believes there's a conspiracy to kill all of them. So, and then as you go through, you find out what's behind that conspiracy. You also find out what's behind this world, what has happened to make this world a different one than the one we live in. So, primarily the introduction of Dr. Manhattan, who's sort of the only superpowered character in this world of superheroes. Everybody else is just sort of a decides to put on a costume and fight crime. He's the sort of the game changer, as it were. He receives these sort of atomic type powers, and he's the reason the world is far different in Watchmen than it was in the traditional 1985.
Right, right. The difference between a costumed hero and a true superhero in this case. Right.
Well, tell me, are the characters? I mean, obviously, one of the things about the graphic novel that's so great is that the characters are so well developed and so in depth. You kind of get into the psychology of why somebody would put a costume on and go out and fight crime. How does Snyder's film fare as far as developing the characters?
You know, I think it worked okay. I mean, I've heard some people early reports. Some people say, "Oh, I don't see how you could get into this if you haven't read the graphic novel because there's not enough time." But I think, look, the comedian has basically like four scenes, and two of them he's doing something awful. And yet still, he manages, Jeffrey Dean Morgan manages to make you kind of understand that character's arc by the end of the movie, and I think that's down to the performance. I think kind of the same thing with Rorschach, although the film obviously hangs on him quite a bit. You get what happened to him based on the performance. So I think it's not the graphic novel. And, you know, almost any time there's something based on a book or a graphic novel, you almost always say the graphic novel is better or the book is better. This is one of the best graphic novels ever, so... Obviously, I think it's going to be better. If you go in expecting it to surpass the graphic novel, you know, don't do that to yourself.
Right.
But if you enjoy it, want to see the performances, want to see a really interesting world built, some really interesting scenes, costuming, all that sort of stuff, that they've done.
So Terry Gilliam was wrong. It is filmable.
It is filmable.
In a certain sense.
In a certain sense. You can't do everything that's in the book. And maybe his idea was you can do everything that's in the book. I mean, all the Black Freighter stuff is dropped out. Right. All the Under the Hood stuff is dropped out. Some of that they're putting out on an animated DVD. But they have dropped out a lot of stuff to make it fit. And even so, it's 2:41, and I think there was another hour they could have put in.
Sure.
Had they, but you just can't release a movie that long.
Well,
so.
You mentioned the idea of doing a miniseries on HBO, and HBO, you know, excels at doing it right. You know, what with John Adams or Band of Brothers. Would you have liked to have seen that happen as opposed to this? Or how do you come down on that?
Well, that's a good question because, I mean, my thought on the early process of this was, I don't need a movie. It's not going to be better. I've got the graphic novel. I don't need a movie. Could you have done more with a 12-part series? Sure. I think you probably could have brought more of it in. But as it is, I think this is a big, glitzy, almost, and this is what Snyder even said, advertisement for the book. This is 2:41 of saying, I think you should read Watchmen. And, you know, whether or not we'll convince people to do that or whether or not it will convince people to buy a ticket and sit down, it's hard to say, I think. But I think you've got to admire the effort, and I admire the skill that he put into making this thing as true as he could.
So what are the flaws in the movie that keeps it from being, you know, on the level of something like The Dark Knight, like a 4-star movie?
Well, you know, it's hard, it's hard just to take it all in. It's a lot that's just presented very quickly to you. There's so many characters. There's so much going on. You know, things cut back and forth quite a bit because you have to. I mean, if you're making this book, that's what you have to do. You can't build maybe up to a crescendo the way that you could with Dark Knight where you're putting all the pieces in place yourself. I mean, I think some people may say, look, it's too true to the graphic novel. You should have pulled out some of these characters, streamlined the thing, and made it work better as a movie. But I think with Snyder's relationship with the book, he said, I can't, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make the book as close as I can. So probably for better or for worse, that's what he's done. This is Zack Snyder's vision of Watchmen, so based on the book. So,
do you think it'll get more people to read the book?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it already has. I think the trailer, if you got people to read the book, I mean, they printed another 200,000 copies of the thing not that long ago. So, yeah, I mean, and I don't know, you guys saw the trailer. That first trailer is brilliant. That first trailer, to me, I mean, says, I want to see this, read the book now. Mm-hmm. And I think people did it. So, I think more people will probably read the book. On a lot of these movie properties, you see a real upswing of people reading the book right until the movie comes out, and then it kind of tapers back down with maybe a little mini peek at the DVD release.
This might not be that way, though. That people will, you know, rush out to the bookstores and to the comic book stores, go get
It's entirely possible. And Watchmen is sort of an anomaly anyway. It's sold and sold and sold more than any other graphic novel. It's almost always in the top 20 or so for the year in and year out. So I don't think the movie will kill it by any means. Now, will interest be sated somewhat by all these people having bought it and read it? Maybe, but I think it's going to continue, and I think Watchmen, the book, will continue to exist, will continue to be something that people want to read. And I think the movie will maybe get some people who wouldn't have thought of it before to say, oh, hey, I need to check that out. So,
You've been following, you know, comic books your entire life, and, you know, has there ever been an instance where readers have more of a proprietary feeling about a set of characters or a story, you know, at this level?
Well, you know, maybe not. I mean, there are fans who are very, very into different things. People love Spider-Man. People love Superman. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there's just the 12 issues of Watchmen, and that's all there has been for so long, may make people, you know, people have really read into that thing and invested in that thing because there's just the one thing. It's not like Spider-Man has been interpreted a lot of different ways, and some of the ways you might like and some of the ways you don't. Watchmen has only really ever been interpreted the one way prior to this, so that may make it even a little harder for people to accept that it's going to be interpreted a different way. But, you know, there's still things you can get rereading that book. I reread it again this last week, saw a couple things I had never seen before, and I've read the thing probably 20 times. So so it's something you can keep going back to. But I do think the fact that it's just those 12 issues does maybe make people a little more protective of it than what they are for the bigger franchises where there have obviously been missteps probably in the comics prior to this.
Sure.
Do you feel like it maybe makes people a little more proprietary about it because it is something that is so special because of the acclaim? I mean, it's on Time's top 100 books of the 20th century.
I think that has something to do with it, too. And the fact that Alan Moore isn't involved probably is going to upset some people. And, you know, I don't want to see it because Alan Moore's not supporting it.
And but Moore's not going to support anything.
Right. Hey, if that's your stance, that's fine. If Alan doesn't want to be involved with it, I think that's fine, too. But I think if you like the book, you want to see it kind of come to life, then I think they did an acceptable job of it, and probably the best job you could, given the parameters that you had.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't read the book, is it even worth your time?
I want to talk to some people who haven't read the book and go see it because I want to know what. Because I, walking out of the movie, I couldn't really separate it. Usually, you can kind of take yourself apart from it and say, "What would I think of this if this? What would I think of it if this?" You know, as a movie critic, you think, "What would I think of this movie if I were into horror? What if I weren't?" But with this, it was so hard to sort of separate it from the book. What would I think of this had I never been exposed to it? It was very hard to separate it because it's so close to the book. So I am curious to see what people who have never read Watchmen are going to think of this movie.
Well, there's nothing that's coming out against it. And
not
that's
at all.
And it's probably, you know, all the better because, you know, because everything else would get steamrolled. I think that this film is going to do amazing business this weekend. And we'll see if it has staying power. I think it probably will.
Oh, well, there's not really a whole lot of anything else that's action oriented coming out for a couple of weeks. So if you want to see something that's big on action, kind of R-rated action film, this is going to be your only option for a while.
Big on action, big on brains as well. So, okay, well, go see it, and email us, let us know what you think about
it
as well.
And check out Matt's 3-star review in Friday's
Weekend Look section. Absolutely. As well as an interview with Patrick Wilson and one with Dave Gibbons, all in Weekend Look.
Very cool. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. And thanks for listening. For Matt Price and Brandon McDonald, we will talk to you next week.